A spoonism is a statement when you actually switch the first letter of a word with the first letter of a second word. It's years ago I had one when I was talking about the wings of eagles, and in the middle of the study I talked about the ings of weagles and got a chuckle out of people. But the worst one that I ever heard was actually in prison. We have prison ministry. We're in ministering to some guys in prison. And during the prayer request, one of them got up, and what he wanted to say was, "You need to pray for me because the enemy is shooting his fiery darts at me." And instead, he said, "You need to pray for me because the enemy is shooting his diary farts at me." Now, I prayed really fervently whether or not I should actually share that with you, and determined I would. But the truth is that we all need to pray. We all need to be aware of the fiery darts of the enemy. The other would be scary as well, but the fiery darts are destructive. And Satan's desire by shooting the fiery darts at you is to catch your mind on fire. When someone in a war shoots a fiery dart or a fiery arrow, they're not trying to hit the heart of an individual. They're trying to catch something on fire. And that's his desire. Satan wants to catch your mind on fire, get you thinking that God doesn't really love you, he's not really going to move for you, God's not really going to do things for you, get you caught up in those kind of things, and you don't move in faith at all. And you don't see God ending up doing great things. And of course, in our passage, let's read it. It says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." And I note that first of all, he says in verse 16, "above all." Now think about that for a moment. What we've been told already, the three pieces of armor that we've covered, this is the fourth week and the fourth piece that we're covering. The first is the belt of truth. How important is that, that we walk in the truth? John wrote and said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Having that belt of truth is crucial in our Christian walk. And then the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate covers the vitals. Having things right between you and God, keeping that short account, that's crucial. Again, then we have our feet prepared with the preparation of the gospel, that everywhere that we go, we bring the message of Jesus Christ with us, and we realize that we have that cause, that very purpose, and that we are called to go out and make disciples of all nations. Again, very, very important. And now he says, above all, above these things, that you have the shield of faith. In other words, Paul is telling us that this is a crucial, important part of what we do, that we have the shield of faith. Now, before we talk about the shield, I want to talk a little bit about faith, because I think it's one of those areas it's a little confusing. It's like the word grace. It's really hard to get an understanding on what grace is because it's used in so many different ways. Well, faith is like that. It's used in so many different terms, and there's even a lot of false teaching about faith that is out there, that we can be a little bit unsure as to exactly what faith is. But that's not because the Bible hasn't been clear. The Bible tells us that it is impossible to please God without faith. If you are not an individual who can trust God and say, "I believe what he has said, and I'm going to live like it," that it's impossible for you to please him. You may have done great things, you may do great things, but if you don't say, "I trust God and I will live what is here," then you are not pleasing God. The Bible says it is the assurance of things hoped for, that is the substance of things that are not seen. That faith actually lines us up with the will of God, so we receive from God. I believe that we can't receive from God if we don't have faith. I also believe that there are things that God wants to give you, but because you don't walk in faith or believe enough in faith, you do not receive it. But the disciples, they had some difficulty about exactly what faith was as well. In fact, when Jesus talked to them about faith, and they said, "Oh Lord, increase our faith." Remember, they're out in the boat. "Oh Lord, increase our faith." And Jesus says, "Have you been with me for so long and you still don't understand that if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, You can say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it will obey you. In other words, Jesus wasn't saying, it's not your lack of faith that's the problem. The problem is you aren't using the faith that you have. It's not as the faith teachers, quote, faith teachers, teach that you've got a faith container inside of you. And you got to fill it with God's faith, and then you can do great things. All of that is unbiblical. All of that is actually takes different kinds of New Age teachings and brings them into the kingdom of God. It's a heresy. It's not true. It's not a matter of trying to gain more faith in your life. It's a matter of using the faith that God has given you. Let me give you an example of that. I'm reading the Bible. I come across a passage that says that if I would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else would be added to me. And I read that and I say, you know what? I believe that. That if I seek God's kingdom and I seek God's righteousness, everything will be added to me. I will lack in absolutely nothing. God will take care of every other aspect of my life. And so I'm going to do it because I believe it. I really believe it. Then there's another individual reading it. They get there and they read it, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Well, that means I got to stop, you know, worrying so much about my finances and what investments I have, and seek first the kingdom of God, and boy, I don't know if I can do that. And I don't know, I'd struggle with that concept, but Lord, here I am, and I just want to be honest with you. I struggle with this concept of seeking first the kingdom of God and making that the greatest priority in my life, but Lord, because your word says it, I'm going to do it. I struggle with it, but I'm going to do it. Do you know that both individuals, the one that had the great faith, that's God's word and I'm going to live it. And the one that said, okay, God, I'll do it. Both of them receive from God. See, it's the acting of the faith, not the amount of faith that you have. But it's applying the faith, even if you're struggling, even if you're, I don't know, but okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to seek God's kingdom first and God blesses you. It's like two individuals, one growing up in New York. Gets into an elevator, he knows when he's going to press number 10, it's going to go up to the 10th floor. He knows it. He gets in the oven and even think about it. He has such faith. He presses it, he begins to feel the elevator move, and he goes on. But there's some guy from a remote village in Africa, never seen an elevator in his life. Somebody tells him, go in that box and press the number 10, and it's going to take you up to the 10th floor. The guy gets in there, looks at the elevator, I don't know about this. Door closes, he's by himself, all right, number 10, and he barely doesn't expect anything to happen, and he presses it. The elevator takes him up to the top. Why? Because he pressed the button. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed and you press the button, it doesn't matter how much confidence you press that button with. If you press the button, the elevator's going to the top. So it is with faith. As long as you believe him enough to say, I'm going to do it, the Bible says, with all of the struggles that we go through in prayer and supplication, with request, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. And you say, you know, my mind hasn't been really guarded in God's peace. And I read that, and I really want his peace. And it says that I have to bring everything before him in prayer and supplication. So, Lord, here I'm going to bring my marriage. I'm going to bring my children. I'm going to bring my finances. I'm going to bring everything before you in prayer. And God's peace suddenly comes over you. You may have done it very confidently, or you may have done it just kind of saying, oh, well, there it is, and God, I'm going to do it. And so you do it, but the faith allows you to receive from God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, the way these guys teach that is that if you read the word of God, then your faith container is going to get full. Or take a tape player and have the Bible played to your children while they're still in their cribs, and the faith is going to get into their lives by kind of like, you know, just the Word of God being played. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that when I read the Word of God and then I put my trust in it, that my faith then comes as I read God's Word and I say, I know that this is what God wants in my life. And I believe there is so much that we as the children of God have not received from God because we really don't do what's here. We say, well, I know it says this, but I'm an exception to that. And you don't receive the promises. You say, well, I know that God says that, but I don't think that's really the way it's supposed to be for me. And so you don't receive the promises of God. And I think we miss out on so much of what God has for us because we really don't trust God's word. Now, there's another way in which faith works. And that is, sometimes you don't always know. You can read the Word of God and see what the promises are, and you can apply them, and that's easy. Really is, once you get a hold of it. Because all you've got to do is say, okay, God, show me. And in fact, once you get rolling, it's like, give me another promise, God. Let me know what they all are so I can live them, so I can bring them into my life. But sometimes God tells us to do things that aren't necessarily written in the Word of God. And now you've got to take a step of faith. Because, and the best example that I can think of this for now, for us, is when we began to do the East Campus. We really believed that God wanted us to do the East Campus. But every time, everybody I shared it with said, you're nuts. It'll never work. You know, it's going to be like this big division in your body. It's just not going to be able to be something that's really going to work. But the more we prayed about it, the more we felt like God wanted us to do it. But we didn't have a passage that said, go to the east side and have a campus. I didn't have an audible voice that said that. But as we prayed about it, and finally we went to the Lord and said, Lord, we believe this is what you want us to do, and we're going to step out in faith and do it. And as we step out in faith, now listen, if God didn't want it done, and I step out in faith for him to do it, the worst possible thing that could happen is that we'd have to put it in reverse and say, God didn't want it. That's the worst thing that could happen if you're stepping out in faith. And I believe that when we climb out on a limb in what we're really believing that God wants us to do, that God doesn't pull out a chainsaw and cut the limb down. Just been waiting for you to get out there on the end. Ring, ring, ring. God! It's not God. I think that God honors faith. I think that even there could be times, and understand what I'm saying. See, because faith, when you align faith with God's will, then you receive. That's the key. You have faith and you align your faith with the will of God, and then you receive from God. And so there could be, I believe, those things that God might not even be directing you in. But you say, Lord, I believe you, and I trust you, and I'm going to share my faith with this individual, whatever, and God may honor your faith. God honors the faith of individuals. There are these faith healers, these quote faith healers, and the vast majority of them are nothing more than crooks. The vast majority of them are doing nothing other than what the people who were, you know, had the tables in the courtyard area that Jesus turned over. That's exactly what they're doing. When someone says, if you will plant your seed faith, give your seed faith, then you can become rich. And what they say is, give the seed faith to me. That's what lawyers would call a conflict of interest. You can become rich if you give your money to me. And in fact, some of them will go as far as saying, God's given me 100-fold blessing. And for tonight alone, God told me that I have a 1,000-fold blessing. And so if you give to me, you're going to get 1,000-fold. And I believe those individuals will have to answer to God for what they are doing. And it also amazes me that all they ever talk about is money. That one after another, after another, after another, after another is money. And the passages that they quote, God has given to us that we might really be set free from financial bondage. I believe that. But hey, I would respect them a little bit if they said, look, be a generous believer. Our God is generous. And go out and find somebody who's in need and give your money to them. Go out and plant. They used it that way, but they don't. Oh no, God said, you got to give it to me. And then you're going to be rich because you give it to me. And all they're doing is taking money from people. However, we see people coming up on stage and we see them go through their little acts. They'll, you know, wave their hands at them or woo and try to blow them over or hit them on the head and they fall down, which is a whole other subject that we can talk about at another time that I don't want to get into at this particular moment. But we see them going through the things they're going through. We see somebody come out of a wheelchair. We see somebody throw down their crutches and we say, if this person now is like the money changers in the temple and God's throwing over the table and he's going to have, you know, they're going to have to answer for what they're doing, why is that person being healed? You ever thought that? Is that healing giving any validity to what this individual is doing? Well, listen, first of all, a lot of them are faking it. And this is not just my opinion. This is something that's been proven. Peter Popoff had a microphone in his ear when he was so giving so-called words of prophecy to people. Tilton, who's back on the air again, by the way, but Tilton actually did some prison time or was at, you know, almost whatever it was for the things that he was doing in taking advantage of people. And others, one of the things that they do is they'll have a wheelchair at the door, several of them. When someone comes in old and feeble, they'll put them down in the wheelchair. And then they'll say, we've got a place up front for you here. Oh, that's so sweet. They wheel them up front. Then when it's time for prayer, they bring them up on stage. Walks over, get up out of the chair. Well, they get up. Everybody, woo, praise God. And now run, and they run. They could always run. And now they're coming out of the wheelchair. I believe that God heals. See, what I think happens here is, and then there's also those that are just faking it. I mean, they just bring them up and they've been caught in doing these things. And when they've been caught, they say things like, well, I'm trying to instill faith in people. So I had this person fake it so other people would really believe and would come up in faith. What they're saying, you don't do evil that good might come about. But I also believe that there could be somebody sitting there who's listening to what's being said. And he doesn't understand that he's being ripped off by this guy. He doesn't understand that this guy's just a crook. And as he listens to it, his faith is stirred up. And he says, I believe God could heal me if I just go up there and get prayed for. And he walks up and the guy does his thing and boom, he falls down and gets up. He's healed because of his faith, because God honors the faith of the individual, not because God honors what this guy is trying to do, but because God loves that individual. And when they aligned their faith with what God's will was for that individual, they were healed. Now, God didn't heal everybody. It's not always God's will that everybody get healed, but God does heal some. God doesn't heal everybody. And so when people come up to their line and they're not healed, you know what they say? They say, well, it's because you don't have enough faith. Now listen, Jesus is teaching in a house. Crowds are all around him. Some four men bring their friend who is quadriplegic, can't move. He's in a bed. They carry the bed to Jesus, but they can't get close because of the crowds. So they go to the top of the house and they tear off the roof. And they lower the body of this man in front of Jesus. And Jesus heals him. Now, I've said before, now that's a sermon distraction. Roof starts, pieces of roof falling in, and finally a bed is lowered down. And here's this guy that's on there. And Jesus tells him, your sins are forgiven. And I could see these guys up here on top of this roof yelling down, that's not what we wanted. We want him healed. Sins forgiven, do that later. We want him coming up out of the bed. And Jesus ends up healing this man, but he says this. He says, the faith of your friends has healed you. In other words, at times, and I'm not saying I understand all of this, but at times, I can spot you faith. At times, you may believe that your marriage is done. You may believe there is no possible way that it could ever be anything that would bless God. And you say, I just don't believe it. I don't believe it could ever be anything that God wants. And I may say to you, I do. I believe that God can do it. And it could be the faith that I have that God works on in your marriage. You could do the same. I believe that. That sometimes it's the faith of an individual. So if these faith healers really have the faith to be able to heal people and they say to someone, you didn't get healed because you don't have enough faith, then what you need to say to them is, spot me some. Then you give me some of your faith so that I can be healed if everybody gets healed. But the truth is that, yeah, we do lay hands on the sick and they do recover. And we do lay hands on the sick and some of them don't recover. That God's will for some and for others, and that's God's business. And God is doing what God is doing. God knows what he's doing behind the scenes. He knows why we're doing them, and perhaps one day we'll have a great understanding for it. But I also believe that God honors the faith of people, regardless of the scum that might bring the message, regardless of the crooks that might be standing up and just be interested in nothing more than taking money from these people. But somehow, they've had the faith to believe that God could do this. And I also think that somehow, in the church, we have to get to the place where we reverse the rubber band effect. You know what I'm talking about with the rubber band effect? It means that there's someone that does something that is so appalling, and they have such a twisting of the scriptures and of doctrine that you don't want to be aligned with them or even near them. And so they're teaching, you know, that if you give, you're going to get back from them and these hundredfold blessings and all these other things that they teach about. And you just want to be away from that so much that you never tell people that God said, cast your bread on the water and it'll come back to you. Not to appeal to your greed, by the way. See, these guys get up there and they appeal to your greed. It's like they're nothing more than some kind of a financial motivational speaker. They're just talking to you about your money. And if you give, then you're getting back, and all. And they just appeal to the greed. And if you give to me, you're getting back a hundredfold. It's a heavenly investment. They use all these terms. But see, God didn't give us those passages to appeal to our greed. God gave us those passages to appeal to our generosity. That you and I would say, if I cast my bread upon the water, it'll come back. I don't have to be afraid to give to someone who's in need, because God's going to meet my needs, and God's going to take care of me. And I know that God will be a debtor to no man, the Bible says, so I don't have to be afraid. And so God's desire is that it would free you up to be generous, to bless people, and to see His work done, not to appeal to your greed that you can somehow get rich by a heavenly investment. That is so ungodly, I can't believe. It's hard for me to believe that hundreds of thousands of people fall for it. Maybe it's tens of thousands instead of hundreds of thousands. Nevertheless, it's hard for me to believe that there are these people out there who will fall so easily into this rather than just saying, oh man, I know God will take care of me. And even though I might be given what I really can't afford to give, God's going to bless me and God's going to take care of me and He's not going to let me go hungry. That's why God gave us those passages. And as we align ourselves then, excuse me, in faith, and we say, hey, God said, cast your bread upon the water, it'll come back to you. So I'm going to cast my bread upon the water. I'm not afraid to do that. And as you operate in faith, it does come back to you. And God does honor that faith that you have as you do that. Now, let's go to our passage. Just having that little bit of understanding, hopefully now, as to what faith, real faith is. In verse 29, it says, excuse me, I'm in Ezekiel. I got so hyper there, flailed over to Ezekiel. Above all, it says, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shields of faith that a Roman soldier, the shields that a Roman soldier would carry were between 6 and 8 feet tall and 2 to 3 feet wide. And they had hooks on each side of these that they could connect to each other. And it was used in the midst of battle to advance close when arrows or fiery darts were being used. And a Roman soldier could connect with someone next to him, 4 or 5 of them together, which would make a moving wall you'd be able to hide behind. Arrows can't get between the sides of them, and you could really advance deep into enemy territory as a way to fight against those arrows being shot at you. What a perfect picture of the shield of faith, isn't it? If it is really true that I could affect you by my faith, that in my prayers, if I believe that God is going to do something for you, and you might not even believe that God could really do it, but I do, then am I not just hooking my shield of faith up with yours? And I'm just coming alongside you and saying, you know what, I'll believe with you. Let's put out these fiery darts of the enemy. Let's go forward and see what God will do. And we can hook our shields together, and that's what God's called us to do. That's why it's about fellowship. That's why we're not to be individual lone ranger Christians. But we're to have those that we love and that know us and can pray with us, and we have those relationships that are around us. As we believe by faith and we lock our shields together and we see God doing great things. It's exactly what those men did that lowered that man before Jesus. They locked in their shield of faith and they believed with them. It says it puts out the fiery darts of the enemy. Now, what are the fiery darts of the enemy? A lot of different opinions that are out there. And I'll spare going over all of the different opinions with you. But I'll tell you what I think they are. I think that the fiery darts of the enemy are doubts that the enemy shoots into our lives. And I think we see it in the conflict between Satan and Eve. As Satan begins to question God's word and place doubts into Eve's mind, and Eve accepts those doubts and runs with them, and her mind catches on fire, and then she falls into sin. That's what Satan wants to do. We also see him shooting doubt at Jesus, right? If you are the Son of God, make these rocks into bread, he says, placing doubt in there. Are you really the Son of God? Come on, if you really are the Son of God, then you should be able to take a rock and turn it into bread, and you're hungry, feed yourself. But Jesus used his shield of faith, which is the Word of God, the shield of faith, which he was able to get into the Word of God and say, the Bible says, and go ahead and read 3 times, fight the enemy with the Word of God by putting his trust into the Word of God and being able to put out those fiery darts of the enemy. So, you're at home in the afternoon, all of a sudden the enemy shoots a fiery dart at you, and all of a sudden you say, I don't think God loves me. And all of a sudden for 2 weeks you're running around, and all the time you're thinking, God didn't love me. You hear a song on the radio about God's love, and God didn't love me. Finally, you come up to me after a service and you say, you know, I'm really struggling now because I don't think God loves me. I think God loves you. I think God loves everybody else here, but I don't think God loves me. And I say, now, wait a minute. God loves you. Oh, no, you don't know what I've done, people will tell me. And you know what? I don't want to know what you've done. But the Bible says this, that while you were yet a sinner, Christ demonstrated his love for you and died upon the cross for you. And so if you were to say, you know what? I've done some pretty horrible things, and I'm not deserving of God's love, but God died for me on my worst day, not on my best. While you were yet a sinner, he died for you and demonstrated his love for you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. Everybody knows that passage. For God so loved the world, and you're part of that world that he loves, and God loves you, and you use the shield of faith to put out that fiery dart. But there are so many Christians that Satan uses this with. There are probably those of you right now that have been running around with that in your mind. God doesn't really love me. Your hair's on, it's on fire. Spiritually, if we could see you, God doesn't love me, God doesn't love me, God doesn't love me. And the Bible would be taking the word of God and saying, wait a minute, God does love me. And not because I'm deserving of his love, but because he's chosen to love me, which to me is a greater love because that love doesn't change. If I love somebody because I feel good around them, if I love somebody because of something about them and that something in them changes, I might not love them anymore. My feelings may change towards them if that thing changes. But when someone says, I'll love you no matter what, the kind of commitment you make when you get married, I'll love you for better, for worse. For richer, for poorer, anything, I'll love you. That's the kind of commitment. And when God makes that kind of a commitment and that kind of a love to us, and we take the word of God, it puts that out. The same could be true about any struggle you're having. Anything that Satan has shot into your mind, he'll shoot into your mind that you know, you've committed the unpardonable sin. So you run around for years, I've committed the unpardonable sin. I was thinking about the Holy Spirit one day and a cuss word came into my mind and I used it towards the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I've committed the unpardonable sin. And you think for sure that you have committed the unpardonable sin. And yet the Bible tells us that anyone who confesses their sins can be forgiven. The only unpardonable sin is those who will not confess their sins, is those that reject the call of the Holy Spirit into their lives. And the shield of faith puts out those fiery darts of the wicked one. The devil comes in and shoots fiery darts about our marriage, fiery darts about our children, fiery darts about our finance, fiery darts about in all kinds of areas. And if, once we take the word of God and we align ourselves by the shield of faith, we put out those fiery darts. And if you're running around and your mind is on fire about some subject that the enemy's been able to shoot these fiery darts into your life about, then you're not partaking in the work of the gospel. You're not realizing that God has placed you where he's placed you for a very specific reason, perhaps only for a season, so that you can make a difference in the lives of people who are there. That all of us are called to a part of this cause, that we are all to go out and make disciples of all nations. It's not just pastors that have that call. We all have that call. And if we get so caught up in the fiery darts that he shoots into our mind and we don't take the shield of faith and put out those fiery darts, then we're ineffective. That's his goal. That's what he wants. He loves to see you running around, God doesn't love me. He loves to see that because it makes you ineffective for the kingdom of God. You're not going to make the kind of stand or have the kind of testimony that's going to be given so that people do end up getting saved. That's Satan's goal. He wants to destroy you by catching your mind on fire. And I have no doubt in my mind that there are those here today whose minds are on fire. I have no doubt in my mind that Satan has shot darts into the lives of many who are here. And right now, it's like you suddenly realize, it's like a light is turned on. And all of a sudden you realize, this is exactly what I'm dealing with. This is exactly what I need to do. I need to go find the scriptures that deal with the subject that my mind is on fire about. That I can believe what God's word says. Now also, I believe that God desires to do great things. I believe God wants to do great things in our lives. Who knows what God will do if we trust him and believe him? Who knows what God will do with your children? Who knows what God will do with your marriage? Who knows what God will do with your finances? Who knows what God will do if you would simply say, I'll trust him and I'll believe him and I'll take steps of faith? I think the enemy would love to stop you from taking a step of faith at all. He would love to get you thinking, oh, it doesn't work. God didn't want you to do these things. So you just don't ever step out in faith. You don't ever look to see God do great things, but I believe that God can do great things. And I believe Satan's got us limiting God. When God has so much that he wants for us, in great areas, when we align ourselves with the will of God, not in order to get whatever we want from God. Oh, how I wish that that false teaching would just disappear. It's not gonna, because it's too, you know, it tickles our ears too much. You know, we like that. Faith is how you twist God's arm to get whatever car you want, you know, kind of thing. Well, I know I can claim a Cadillac. And I just wish those things would go away, because that's not what it's about. Again, the Bible says that with food and clothing, we should be content. Just to say, Lord, you'll take care of my needs. I don't need to run around claiming things from God. I just need to trust his word and know that what we have been given is very real for the tearing down of strongholds. It's very real weapons that allow us to have victory, and that we could see real victories in faith. We could see souls saved and perhaps even believe God for one of the greatest revivals of all time. Maybe even for the greatest revival of all time. Would that just not be phenomenal? If God did something in our midst and from our fellowship, maybe working with other churches, whatever the case is, that we just be a part of it, and God begins to move by the power of his Holy Spirit, and people begin to get saved and turn away from the things of this world and commit themselves to Christ. What a great day that would be if we could say, Lord, I believe you, and I'm going to stand for you, and I'm going to trust you. And I believe that God could do great things through us if we really do get a hold of faith. And if faith is really that powerful in my life as a believer and your life as a believer, then is it any wonder that it's one of the things that Satan perverts? Is it any wonder that there's these guys out there that are teaching faith in a way that is just ungodly and for selfish personal reasons? Because Satan wants to try to pervert something that is so powerful if we can get a hold of it. Pick up our shield of faith and say, you know what? I'm moving forward with this. Above all, I'm believing God's word. You're doing something now you know you're not supposed to be doing, and then get back into God's word and do what you're supposed to do and stand and believe it and begin to see God do great things in your life. Let's stand up and pray.